some of what I'm going to say, at least the very beginning, and I'm going to say it kind of quickly because of this, some of what I'm going to say was said on this morning's FMT, 5-Minute Torah. If you don't know about it already, anybody and everybody's welcome to join. Bli Neder, Bli Neder, Dvar Torah is sent out every morning, Bli Neder, and two on Fridays. If anybody's interested in joining, ask around or WhatsApp me privately, and I am happy to add you to the list. You don't have to, obviously, it's not mandatory, but the very beginning of what I'm going to say is that, and I'd like to expand upon it. In this week's parsha, we begin, and a couple of you have already mentioned this to me, we begin very, very specifics, the details of the mitzvot. We talked until now about the forest, the lofty ideas. I mentioned that this morning. And in this week's parsha, we begin the trees at the top of your page. We have the end of last week's parsha and the beginning of this week's parsha. We have Atem re'item ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. You're not allowed to make avodah zarah. You have then at the end of last week's parsha the mitzvah that when you eventually build the mizbeach, you're not allowed to use iron when you build the mizbeach. I talked about that. When you build a mizbeach, you're not allowed to have stairs. You have to have a ramp. And that is the way we ended last week's parsha. And the second source on your page is the very beginning of Parshat Mishpatim. Ve'eile ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem ki tikne eved ivri, etc. We get to the details. We get to the specifics. And the question is why? Why don't we go straight into the building of the Beit HaMikdash? Let's skip Mishpatim for now. Or at least the first few aliyot, of Mishpatim, and let's start building the Beit HaMikdash. That would have been awesome. We have Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yamsuf, Matan Torah, build the Beit HaMikdash. That's the way I thought we were going at the end of Parshat Yitro. Build the Mizbeach. Let's skip to Parshat Truma, V'Kuli Truma, May eight kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu et shumati, and no. We come to a screeching halt, and we start talking about very specific details. Some of you are having a little hard time with Shnai Mikra, and the question is why? Why do we start talking about these things? And there's many answers, and I want to share with you one answer that is the third source on your page from the Kutzke Rebbe. The Kutzke Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutsk, died in 1859. The tremendously enigmatic and powerful and charismatic Kutzker, he was a Talmud of Rav Simcha Bunim of Pshischa, and the Kutzker Rebbe says the following, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim derech eretz kadma la-Torah. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows these four words, derech eretz kadma la-Torah. But he goes one step further and he says, derech eretz hi hakdama la-Torah. It's not just that it precedes Torah, it is the introduction to Torah. That we never heard before. Umin ha-hakdama efshar lilmod al tivo shel ha-sefer. Lefi midat derech eretz shebe'adam. Nikar Mahim Pnei HaTorah Sheyesh Bo. The Kutzke Rebbe in these 2.5 lines says a tremendous amount. Number one, Derech Eretz Kadmala Torah means that it's not just precede Torah, it is the precedent to the Torah. It's the introduction to the Torah. And from the introduction, if I want to know what a book is about, I read the introduction. And the introduction tells me what the book is about. Do you want to know what the book is about? Derech Eretz is the hakdama to the Torah. And not only that, but lefi midat derech eretz sheba'adam nikar mahim pnei haTorah sheyesh bo. Do you want to know how much Torah a person has? What kind of Torah a person has? Check out his or her derech eretz. Check out his or her Derech Eretz. It's impossible to know Torah without having Derech Eretz. You want to know how much Torah they have? You want to know how much impact the Torah has on that person? Find out how much Torah, how much Derech Eretz they have. And that's the Kutzker Rebbe, and we have to ask the question, and this is what I said a minute ago. I'll say it quickly because I think some of you heard it in the FMT. If you're interested in joining, please say so. If you're interested in listening to just this one, I can send it to you. But the question is why this specific beginning to the Derech Eretz portion? Why specifically this mitzvah do we begin with the mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveiro? The mitzvah of Ki Tikneh. Take a look at the second source. Go back a second. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. What I wanted to see was a mitzvah of how to treat your parents. It's in this aliyah. It's in this parsha. How to treat others financially. You're not allowed to make a fire. You're not allowed to make a pit. You know, build a pit. Those are important mitzvot. You can't curse your parents, God forbid. You can't cause damages. You can't get into fights. That is in this parsha. Those are in this parsha, but that's not the first thing in this parsha. The first thing in this parsha is Ki Tikneh Eved Ivri Sheish Shanim Ya'avod Uvashvi'i Yetzei Lachofshi Chinam Im Begapo Yavo Begapo Yetzei Im Ba'al Ishahu V'yatza Yishto Imo, etc., etc. The mitzvah of a person who steals and is caught. The halacha is that if a person steals 100 shekel and feels terribly guilty, he or she can go back and pay the 100 shekel. All is forgotten. You have to ask mechila, but financially, if I steal 100 shekel, chas v'shalom, I can pay back 100 shekel and I'm done. If, however, I pay 100 shekel and I get caught, I have to pay 200 shekel. It's called kefel. Kefel means double. I have to pay double. And the halacha is that what happens if I can't pay double? Well, now we get to the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim. I have to sell myself to be a slave. I have to sell myself to be a slave and I have to work it off. If it's 100 shekel, it may take a day, half a day, an hour. But if it's more, it's more. And this is so strange. We are talking about... we understand why we had to have Mishpatim before Truma Tetzaveh and Kitisa, and then of course Vayakal Pekudei, that I understand. Derech Eretz Hakdama LaTorah. I understand that I have those details, but why do we start with an Eved, a lowly Eved? Not only an Eved, this Eved is a criminal. Not only is this Eved a criminal, this Eved is a bad criminal. He got caught. I would at least give me a professional criminal. Movies are made about these art thieves, and it's really great and very glamorized and romanticized. I mean, they are robbers. They cause incredible pain to people, but we like them because it's in the movies, but that's not for now. But this guy is a bad criminal. He's not even good at it. And not only is he not good at it, he's poor. He doesn't even have the money to pay back. He's a nebuch of a nebuch, a petty thief who is poor at what he does and poor in his bank account. And this is the person you start with. This is the first story that you got in the Torah. Why? Why this of all people? Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, the Rav of Frankfurt, died in 1888. Rav Hirsch answers the question gorgeously. Rav Hirsch says, when the Word of God wants us to realize what are the principles of rights and humanness which it demands for the respect of the human being, it starts off with the criminal. And it takes for its example the criminal against property. The criminal who in all other states is threatened with the direst punishments to body and freedom. And it shows us what is the treatment that God's idea of rights in his state dictates. Says Rav Hirsch, as I understand Rav Hirsch, you want to judge a nation, you want to judge a people, you want to judge a community, You want to judge a person, judge that people, judge that Torah by how it treats the lowest of the lowest of the low. Anybody can treat Bill Gates properly. If Bill Gates walked into this room, we all would jump up and say, yes, sir, and Sir William Gates, and kiss his hand, and he's Bill Gates. If the Queen of England walked into this room, everybody would get up and curtsy. We have to think about that. Halakhically, it's probably allowed. We'd all do that. She's the Queen of England. But how about a lowly person? And I use that word in quotes. Because the Torah is teaching us here that there is no such thing as a lowly person. There's no such thing. Do you know what the Torah did? The Torah told us something. It was a revolutionary. Revolutionary. And if anybody, I remember when I was a kid, they used to have like these TV movies that went for like a few days in a row. And two times in my elementary school where I didn't have homework for a whole week because the teachers told us that we had to watch these TV shows. There's no VCRs, you can't record it. So you had to watch these TV shows. One was the show called Holocaust. It was a movie called Holocaust. Every night for an hour or two, I have no idea. It was very, very painful, but it was made for TV, so it was really nothing compared. A Holocaust survivor at the time said that what you portrayed in the show Holocaust was a spa in the Caribbean compared to what I experienced in Birkenau. Something like that, I remember correctly. Okay, that was that. And another one was a show called Roots. Arthur Haley wrote a book called Roots about the African-American slavery experience all the way up until the 19th century, and it's followed generations. Kunta Kinte, sound familiar at all? Okay, it's really, really before your time. It was almost before my time. And you watch that movie and you say, that is the way slaves were treated. And I'm not saying they were good, they were bad people to do that, but it was what everybody did. Nobody tells me that I have to treat my chair properly. Nobody tells me that I have to treat my book properly. If it's a Torah, of course, but a Lahavdil, Harry Potter, so throw it out. Nobody cares about it. It's a piece of property. So why would I treat my slave any different? The slave is an it. It's not a he or a she. It's an it. And came along the Torah and said, absolutely not. Look at the next source. Masechet Kiddushin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph Tanya. Now, you'll notice that I put brackets here because I had to read the whole pasuk. But really, the Gemara reads, Tanya Ki Tov Lo Imach. That's the Gemara. But I wanted the whole pasuk there. Tanya, we learned in a brisa from a pasuk in Zoftim. It's not Parshat Zoftim, it's Parshat Shoftim. Okay, there is no Parshat Zoftim, it's just a typo. There is a from Parshat Shoftim. Vihaya, it's Shoftim, it's the same as our story right now. Vihaya ki omare lecha, lo itse me'imach. If a slave ever says to you, an Eved Ivri says, I don't want to leave. Ki ahevcha, I love you, the slave master. Beitecha, and your home, family. And he'll say that because, ki tov lo imach. What does that mean, imach? How can it be good to be a slave? And says the Gemara, imach b'ma'achal v'imach b'mishte. The slave is part of you, in the way you eat, in eating and in drinking. Shelo tehe ata ochel pat nekiya. You're not allowed to eat nice, good, clean bread. It's a high quality bread. V'hu ochel pat kiber. And he's going to be eating grist bread. He's going to be eating disgusting bread. No. If you have one piece of good bread, he eats it. Can you imagine, go back to the 1805 in the United States, go back to 1750, and tell a white slave owner, guess what, if you only have one piece of bread, I'm sorry, but it's going to have to go to the slave. Are you out of your mind? I'm feeding my it a nice piece of bread? This is the Chiddush. Next, Atasho Teyayin, it can't be Matayosho Teyayin Yashan. Apparently wine is better with age. You're drinking nice wine. V'husho te yayin chadash. Impossible. If you have two bottles of good wine, you both drink it. If you have one bottle of good wine, he drinks it. Ataya shein al gabe muchin. You're going to be sleeping on pillows. V'hu yoshein al gabe tevin. And he sleeps on grain, whatever, wheat. No. You have one mattress? your slave gets it, not you. Mikan Amru, and here is the expression from the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, Kol HaKone Eved Ivri KeKone Adon LiAtzmo. You're not acquiring a servant, you're acquiring a master. He's going to eat better than you, he's going to sleep better than you. And that is how you judge the Torah. How do you judge the lowest people? By recognizing that there's no such thing as a low person. By recognizing that everybody deserves honor, by everybody deserving credit. You're not allowed to give a slave Sisyphean work. You know what that means? Unending, meaningless work for no reason. It's usser, usser. You're allowed to make them work hard, don't get me wrong, but it has to be meaningful, it has to be for a reason. They are a servant after all, they are a slave. They do have to work hard. But human beings are not crushed by hard work. They're crushed by meaningless work. And you can't crush any human. There's no such thing. Because every person means something. Every person is valuable. And you want to start talking about building the Mizbeach and the Aron Kodesh and the Menorah and the Mishkan and the Azara, first you get through Parshat Mishpatim. And first of all, Halachot in Parshat Mishpatim, Ki tikne eved ivri sheishanim ya'avodu v'ashvi'i yetze lachoshi chinam im begapo yavo begapo yetze. You start talking, recognize first derech eretz hakdama la'Torah. Recognize that every single person is meaningful. There's no such thing as lowly. How do I get to that stage? How do I get to the Madrega where I recognize that every single person means something? It's really hard. It's hard. How does a person get to that Madrega? So we don't have a lot of time, but I want to share with you an astounding Gemara. The Gemara is at the bottom of the page. It's from Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Zalot Amar Aleph. And it's a Gemara about Rabbi Yochanan was one of the Gedolei Hador in the 3rd century. He was the general editor, we'll call it, the general editor of the Talmud Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Yochanan also was known for having tremendously good looks. Tremendously good looks, and the Gemara describes both in life and in death how good his looks were. He was very, very handsome. And the Gemara describes a person whose nickname was Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish started out his life part-time as a thief and part-time as a gladiator, as a for-hire fighter. He was a robber. He was a womanizer. He was a fighter, a brute, complete brute. And the Gemara describes the following. This is before Reish Lakish became Reish Lakish, which we'll see right now how he became Reish Lakish. The Gemara says like this, I am going to start from the 4th word on the Gemara at the bottom of the page. Yom Echad, one day, Hava Kasachi Rabbi Yochanan Biyardena. One day, there was a day where Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Hador, picture in your mind, who's a Gadol Hador? And he's swimming in the Yarden, bath, mikvah, I don't know what he was doing. Exercise. Chaz ye Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish saw him. Reish Lakish, the bandit, the thief, the boxer, the womanizer, saw the Gadol Hador swimming in the Yarden River. Second line. Vishachar li Yardena abatrei, and he jumps into the Jordan River to swim with Rabbi Yochanan. It's not exactly clear why he jumped into the water. The Mefarshim differ, everybody has some sort of promiscuous reasoning behind it. He jumped in for some reason, either whatever it was, some kind of gilui arayot that Reish Lakish had in mind with or about Rabbi Yochanan. The Gadol Hador meets the mafioso Reish Lakish. If I were writing the Gemara, I'm embarrassed to say, if I were writing the Gemara, I would say that the next line should be that Rabbi Yochanan called the police, that Rabbi Yochanan jumped out, he ran away, he beat him up, he got beaten up, he called his students, he screamed at him. That is not the rest of the Gemara. Amar le, Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Hador, says to Reish Lakish, the brute, Chelech Leoraita. Chelech, your strength is for Torah, should be channeled for Torah. You have incredible power inside and out, and you should be using that power for greatness, for Torah. This is a brute. Amar Lei, Reish Lakish was not taken in by that. He said, Shufrach Lenashe, your beauty should be used for women. Your looks should be used for women. Rabbi Yochanan, you think I'm doing it wrong? You're doing it wrong. What a life you could lead, Rabbi Yochanan. You're so good looking, you got it made. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan, at this point, could have called the police, could have run away. I gave it a try. Pikuach Nefesh. Amar Lei, I hadart bach, if you do tshuva, Reish Lakish, Yahivna lach achoti, I will give you my sister. You think I'm good looking? Should see my sister. Deshafira minai. She's prettier than me. She's more good looking than me. I'm not going to read the rest of the Gemara only because of time, and I didn't even quote the whole rest of the Gemara. The rest, as they say, is history. Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, agreed, but when he went back to shore to try to pick up his weapons, he couldn't lift them, and he ended up being Reish Lakish's brother-in-law and Chavrusa. And together, they wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's an incredible story. And I think that this is one of the keys, the advice of how to become who we want to become. We say that there is a value in the Torah, that no such thing as low or high. Everybody is a person. Everybody deserves kavod. Everybody deserves my attention and your attention. I think the answer is Rabbi Yochanan. One of the answers is Rabbi Yochanan. The only way to treat people properly is to recognize that every person has potential. That every person is special. I'm not saying that from a, God forbid, Barney the dinosaur, you know, mentality. Oh, it's very cute, let's go have dinner. I mean, we've got to work on ourselves. When you're talking to somebody, when you're talking, for example, to the cleaning lady, do you see the cleaning lady? Or do you see a lady who happens to clean? When you see a taxi driver, do you see a taxi driver? Taxi driver. Or do you see a person with emotions and a family, or trying to have a family, who is driving a taxi? And that, to me, is the key. The only way to treat everybody properly is to first recognize everybody properly. And I want to share a story, and with this I'm going to end. I'm going to try to end on time, do my best. I always get a little emotional when I tell the story, and I've been telling the story for approximately 10 years. More than that, 15 years. I had the zechut of learning with a Rebbe. He became my Mesader Kiddushin, Rav David Lifshitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the great, I told you about him actually, I remember that, in Eilat. He had the zechut of learning with Rav Shimon Shkup. So I really, mamish, you could hear Rav Shimon Shkup Torah in Rav David Lifshitz. Rav Shimon Shkup was the gadol of the early 19th century, early 20th century Polish Jewry. And this story is found in a sefer called Torah Yevakesh Mipihu about Rav Shimon Shkup. And I told this story when I spoke in Grus at Rav David Lifshitz's 20th Yortzeit. And we're coming up on 30 now, believe it or not, pretty soon. And I told the story because I felt that my Rebbe, and I told some stories about him, learned this from his Rebbe. And the story goes like this. There was a Talmud years ago who wanted to be accepted into Rav Shimon Shkup's yeshiva. It was called Shar HaTorah. It was in Grodna. That is where Rav David Lifshitz learned. And this Talmud, that's all he wanted, to be accepted to the Harvard University, to the Stern College of yeshivas in Grodna, in the world. This is the yeshiva, but it was really, really hard to get into. And his parents were very poor, and they also wanted him, this is a true story, his parents wanted him to get accepted. They knew nothing. They had nothing. But they spent every last penny that they had to hire a tutor to teach this boy one Gemara. One sugya. It's very common in yeshivas, especially in those days, but even today, you come in and the Rosh Yeshiva says, "What are you learning?" "Oh, I'm learning Bava Metzia Pei Zayin." You learn Pei Zayin. And you learn and you steig and you explain, and everyone does it. They prepare for a faher. Faher is Yiddish for a test, a bechina. So he didn't know any Gemara, but he got a tutor for this with all the money the parents had to learn this one daf Gemara. Rosh Hashiva asks, what are you learning? Bava Metzia Pei Zayin, beautiful, let's start learning. And you go through the daf, boy, you really know it. He gets in, and the rest would be history. So that's what the plan was. He learns and learns and learns with the little money, the cheap tutor that he got, and they send him off. Send him off to make the long journey to Grodna so far. Well, the family didn't have any money left. So they only had enough money for half the journey. The rest of the journey, he's going to have to take tramps and walk and schlep and sit on the back of a train and a wagon and who knows what. They also only had enough money for half the food. So he had to eat whatever he could eat and scrounge whatever he could scrounge and beg whatever he could beg and sleep wherever he could sleep. Terrible. So really, after a long and arduous journey, the boy finally makes it to Grodna. But he was exhausted, and he was starving, and he couldn't go to the yeshiva right away. He needed a day or two to recover, to eat, but he didn't have any food. He didn't have any place to sleep. He didn't have any money for anything. What's he going to do? So a man asked him, saw him, had rachmanis on him. "This guy, this boy looks terrible." He said, "How can I help you?" The boy says, "Well, I'm actually here for a faher with Rav Shimon Shkup. But I'm looking for a place to sleep." And the man goes, "Amazing! Come with me. I'll take you to the Shkup's house immediately. They'll take you. You can have the bechina right now." And the boy says, "No." But the man thinks he's doing him a favor. And they go to the Rav Shimon Shkup's house, the Shkup family house. Knocks on the door. And the boy davens like he never davened before. Please, Mrs. Shkup, you open the door. Please, Mrs. Shkup, you open the door. Just, you know, for something, I just need a little food, and that doesn't matter. Please. What happened? Reb Shimon Shkup opens the door. An imposing figure, the person. Oy vey, Izmir. How can I help you? But he could see the boy was. Well, I'm here for a bechina. I'm here for a fahir. Rav Shimon Shkup says, come on inside. And they sit down in the living room, whatever meager living room the Shkup family had. And Rav Shimon Shkup says, I have one question to ask you. And the boy again davens even harder. Ask me which Gemara. That's all I know. I'm going to try my best to remember. So Rav Shimon Shkup says, I have one question to ask you. Davins, please, Baba Metzia, Pei Zayin, Pei Zayin. Rav Shimon Shkup asked the boy, when was the last time you ate? When was the last time you slept in a bed? That's what Rav Shimon Shkup asked, nothing else. And the story goes that the boy was speechless. Mrs. Shkup was out of the house. Rav Shimon Shkup, Bichvodo V'Atzmo, made him a meal. And the boy ate ravenously. And when he was done, this is the story that it was told that I heard from, that the boy said when he was older. That Rav Shimon Shkup, you have to picture yourself in the house of the Gadol HaDor. Rav Shimon Shkup with his own hands made a bed for this boy, put him to sleep and said, we'll talk in learning tomorrow. That's mind-boggling. But that is what Torah is. I can talk in Torah all day long if you want, but that's not what he needed. And what every single person needs is what we are there for. And ladies, I will just end by saying, if you want to be the person who treats everybody like that boy was treated, the way that a cleaning lady is supposed to be treated and a taxi driver is supposed to be treated, then number one, you have to first see the value in them, the humanness in them, the potential in them, the Reish Lakish in them. They may look like a Reish Lakish on the outside, like a brute, but they're not. Number two, you also have to say that to yourselves. You have to say that about yourselves. Sometimes we're too harsh about ourselves. I have potential also. I have value also. I have something to contribute, and I can love myself at least as much as Hashem loves me. So let's take this parsha. It's not a simple parsha, but let's remember Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, Derech Eretz Hakdama LaTorah, and let's treat every person with the potential and the beauty and the love that they deserve. Have an amazing evening, everybody.
Thank you.